Sister Cheryl. That's all I need to do. Trust and obey. That's what he's interested in. Brother Matt, would you pray for us, please? You've been reading the Bible every day, praying every day. Friday's it. Going to start warming up Wednesday, just in time for the Bible Readers Banquet. Friday, 6 o'clock, is that right, preacher? There's going to be any food?
It'll be fun.
Yeah? Come hungry? Fun food and fellowship?
Yeah, fun.
Okay. Okay.
Preaching, fun food. Yeah. Fun fellowship, and then singing and preaching, you can't beat.
Yeah. Brother Dennis is going to do the preaching.
Yeah,
Brother
Dennis.
Okay. Looking good already. I wouldn't miss it for nothing. If you need $10, tell us. We'll go to the bank, get it, make payments on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we haven't had a memory verse for a while. Let's get us a memory verse here. Let's look at Psalm 19:14. Forgot to tell Jeremy this. Psalm 19:14. It was the last thing Sunday night, actually, on the board. It said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Looks like there'll be some good help in there somewhere.
Yeah.
As you know, sometimes the hardest thing about a memory verse is remembering the reference and the first word. So let's work on that today. Let's say together Psalm 19:14, let. Okay, let's try it again. You failed that time. Here we go. We'll go Psalm 19:14, let. Good. Again.
Psalm 19:14, let.
Great. Again.
Psalm 19:14, let.
Good. Again.
Psalm 19:14, let.
Great. One more time.
Psalm 19:14, let.
I think it's going to work out good. God doesn't need important people. He's not looking for important people. He has an important message. And we've been looking at it in John 6. The Great Bread chapter. And remind me now, Matthew wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a
king
is right. Mark wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant is right. Someone new. Luke wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a man is right. And Brother John has told us over and over again that the Lord Jesus Christ is... That's right, He's God. Where did Matthew start? Bethlehem is right, Brother Jeremy. Where did Mark start? Bethlehem, that's right. Where did Luke start? Right now, where did John start? In the beginning, where else? In the bosom is right. Now, last week we were in John chapter 6, like we said, and... we actually looked at verses about just approximately 30 to 58. And in there, three different times, the Word of God mentions manna, bread from above. Today, let's look at where that came from. It came from Genesis 16. I'm sorry, Exodus 16. It's where the whole thing started. And Exodus 16. And they took their journey from Elam. It's talking about the children of Israel going through the wilderness. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, I guess is how you say it. which is between Elam and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. They murmured. You know, just like us good Americans murmur. That's what we do. They murmured. They murmured against the preacher, against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hands of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, and ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Now, I kind of doubt if they had it made that good. I think they're exaggerating. I think that's a figure of speech, is what I think. I doubt if the slaves making bricks out of straw had it quite that good. But anyway, that's what they said. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare." Now we'll see in a little bit. There wasn't any bread from heaven on the seventh day. On the sixth day, they had to bake it. They had to prepare it. We'll see in a little bit. "That which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt." Anybody been brought out? He brought us out so he could bring us in. I'm glad you're in this morning. "And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord." What are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you." By the way, that's what the Lord does, is give. Now man tries to turn it around and be the giver and make the Lord the taker, but it'll never be. The Lord is the giver. The Lord is the giver. Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him." Oh, it wasn't against the preacher. It was against the Lord, the big Lord, the capital Lord. "And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation of the children of Israel, "Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings." And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "I've heard your murmurings of the children of Israel, speaking to them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." Anybody know that? And it came to pass that at the even, the quails came up and covered camp, and in the morning, the dew lay round about the host. In the evening, they got quail, a delicacy, a pheasant under glass to eat in the evening, and in the morning, it's going to be this manna, a dew. 14, "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground." Now I looked up hoarfrost. We say the ground's white like it snowed. We got frost last night. But that hoarfrost means gray, as in old and gray hair around the edges. The frost is not actually white. I didn't know that. Some of it's not. The hoarfrost is gray, a little bit gray. "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was." See, the word manna actually means, what is it? That's what the word means. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons, that ye take ye every man for them which are in the tents. Now I looked up omer, and this is 5 pints. That's a big half gallon. It's a half gallon plus another pint is an omer. That's how much they would get each morning. We'll see some gathered more if you had, you know, 5 in your household, or if there's just 2 or 1, some less, according to the number of the persons. 17. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, you'll never guess what happened, preacher. They hearkened not. They didn't listen. It's been going on for a long time. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the 6th day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake, or prepare that which ye will bake today, and seed that ye will seed, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink. The Lord touched it, and they baked it, and it lasted another day. Neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days shall ye gather it, but on the 7th day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the 7th day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said, they didn't listen. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the 6th day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the 7th day. So the people rested on the 7th day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now, every time I read this, I can't help but think of perhaps my favorite store-bought snack. I love homemade, but store-bought. Now, I've already talked to 2 innocent bystanders this morning, and neither one of them had ever heard of this. They heard of Nutty Buddies, but not the wafers. Not the wafers. If you never had the wafers... The wafers are a cross between the hard Nutty Buddy crackers and cotton candy. All I'm saying is they're soft. Sister Kim buys them just special for Brother Rick. They got the old Nutty Buddies beat all to pieces. Now, if you've never had one, or if you have, stop by my office after a while. And you can check them out. Wafers made with honey. What could be better? One with peanut butter in it. The only thing could be better than that. Okay, here we go. Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generation, that you may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generation. The Lord did something special right here. He made one omer last forever in the testimony. That was all that was in there, as far as I know, is this manna, a copy of the Bible, the Word of God, and Aaron's stick that budded. It's the three things that was in the testimony. And the Lord took care of all that. And the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the 10th part of an ephod. So I went ahead and checked it out a little bit more. Let me remind you, 4 pecks is a bushel, and a peck is 8 quarts of a dry measure, and an omer is 5 pints, and an ephah is 3 pecks. A small bushel, if you will. 3/4 of a bushel. Now, I didn't tell you I was going to read the whole chapter or somebody that left. But we just read the whole chapter. Okay, now, manna. Manna itself was food for the wilderness. It was wilderness food. They didn't have it in Egypt, and they didn't have it when they got into Promised Land in Canaan. It was just for the wilderness. It came every morning for 40 years, except on the Sabbath. Manna came down from heaven. Christ, in chapter 6, John 6, is the bread of heaven that cometh down from heaven. Manna from the first heaven by gravitation. Jesus from the third heaven by incarnation. Manna is mysterious and miraculous. Jesus is mysterious and supernatural. The word manna means what is it? And that happened in John 16. John 16:17. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, "What is this? That he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this? That he saith, a little while, we cannot tell what he saith." They didn't have to understand the manna. All they had to do was eat. You don't have to understand Jesus. You don't have to understand all this. Just go ahead and eat. Go ahead and believe and receive, and he'll make it clear to you. We don't understand everything. I don't. We had the definition back there in verse 14. Let me read it again if you don't mind. Exodus 16:14. Most of the definition. When the dew that lay was going up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. Now the small represents his humiliation. The great condescension. He was in the bosom. As high as he can get, above everything, he was in the, and he condescended to the cross, the lowest place. His humiliation. Round, his deity, the wedding ring never ends, symbol of eternity. All heavenly bodies are spherical, round. The frost represents that. The man, I mean, eternal. White for his purity. From the manger to the tomb, no sin.
Right.
No sin. No sin before, no sin after. Pure, pure. And then sweet, just like Nutter Butter wafers. Peace and satisfaction only from Him. Only from Him. And that's in verse 31 there in Exodus 16. The house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers, like Nutter Butter wafers made with honey and peanut butter. Manna descended in the dew, a type of the Holy Spirit who brings Christ to the center. Manna came at night. The Lord Jesus came at night and brought the gospel in the night. The making of manna into bread, that verse 23 we talked about there, baking it, showed the suffering of Christ on the cross for you. They would mash it in a crucible, if you will, or in a pot and make bread out of it and bake it. And manna must be gathered and beaten like Christ was bruised. before they could bake it. Then it was exposed to the fire of judgment, another picture of Calvary. And manna normally rots in one day, but the resurrected testimony of manna was kept in the ark in verse 33, like we talked about. The Lord did that, just something special, like He would do from the sixth day to the seventh day. Let me read it one more time. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot, put a omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. Manna rested on earth only a little while, 40 years. The Lord Jesus Christ was only here 33. Manna came once and not since. Christ came once and not since. But you just wait.
Yeah,
he's coming back. He's still coming. He's still on the way. We've never seen manna or the Lord with the physical eye. Manna gave physical life, the Lord eternal life, spiritual life, and abundant life. Manna was a free gift to all. Could not be bought. Christ brought salvation. It's free for the asking. Cannot be bought. Manna was provided for all. It's in the reach of all. Anybody could take it. Only because God loved His children. Yet, the children murmured. They murmured. Let's go back to John now. John 6, we've got a little bit of time left here. We saw the figures of speech. Last time, now we're in verse 59. Omniscience. He knows everything. He knew everything. That's not all. He knows everything today and tomorrow. He's going to know everything. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. More up to date than the next week's newspaper. Omniscience. These things said He in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said to them, doth this offend you? It did offend some. It offended the foe. It offended the enemy. Verse 62, the resurrection. What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He came from before? It's going to be supernatural. The resurrection was supernatural, like His conception was supernatural by the Holy Ghost. Like His life was supernatural, sinless. Like His miracles were supernatural, to walk on the water or make a blind man see or a crippled man walk. His death was supernatural. His resurrection was supernatural. Everything about Him supernatural. He's above super. Verse 63, one of my own personal favorites. There is spirit. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You want filled up with the spirit? Get filled up with the Word.
Yeah, amen.
Our memory verse is going to help Rick. I don't know if it'll help anybody else, but it's going to help me get a little bit of spirit in there. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. I'm made of dust, and real soon I'm going back to dust. That's about as high as we can get to dust. That's about as good as we can do. That's on a good day. The spiritual nature of things. See, God does the birthing. God saved me. I didn't born myself. The Lord did it. 64, starting in 64, some turned back. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. Now in my Bible, that's all right here on one page. And I think it might be a King James definition right there. Believe not equals betray. Betray, believe not. Believe not, betray. I'm pretty sure That's a definition for a synonym. 65, and he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. A disciple is a follower, a student, not an apostle. If anyone can be a disciple or a follower or a servant. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? See, some turned back. They murmured. It was the manner of the multitude to turn back. The followers he knew. He knows his followers. He knows his own. And he calls them by name. But these turned back. Some turned back. Verse 68, some believed. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Anybody in here sure about it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they said, we believe and are sure. That was the outer circle that left. This is the inner circle with the heart committed to Christ. Peter, listen close. He said, Lord, we believe and are sure that You're the Christ. The Word of God is the power that makes known the way. John 17:8. We can see this again. For I've given unto them the words which Thou gavest to me. This is the Lord praying to the Father. This is the Lord's prayer. And they have received them and have known surely that I came down from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. Lord, we believe and are sure. We're sure about it. Peter understood Matthew 16:16. Peter understood. He got it finally. I'm real slow. He's a little bit slow. Matthew 16:16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have known and believed. However, he didn't understand everything. A little bit like Brother Rick. Look down in 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter rebuked the Lord, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said to Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter understood, but he didn't get it all. He's like us. You can be sure that Jesus is the Lord that came down from heaven. You can be sure about that. You can mark it down. It's what the Bible says. You can trust your Bible. But you can also be sure about sin. Numbers 32. Numbers 32:23. We can be sure about sin. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out, Brother Rick. Be sure your sin will find you out. We can be sure about that. We can be sure about the Scriptures. We can be sure about that because the Scripture said it. Psalm 19:7. Hey, that reminds me of our memory verse. What's our memory verse? Psalm 19:14, let is correct, Brother Ted. Psalm 19:14, let. Let's look at Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Brother Clark tells us this. Brother Clark sings it to us. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Be sure about it. You need a little bit of help there like me? You can get you some wisdom right here. Some wisdom. Making wise the simple. How about Psalm 93:5? Thy testimonies are very sure. They're not just regular. See, that's another word for the Bible. The Bible's not just regular sure. It's very sure. You can be very sure about thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever, forever. 111 verse 7. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. You can count on them. You can take it to the bank. You can depend on it. You can rely on it. You can trust it. Romans 4. Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And 2 Peter 1. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Let me just go ahead and go on record saying this is not a fable. It's the truth. It's true. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. See, Peter was there. He walked with Him, talked with Him for 3 years. He was there when this event happened right here. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory and said, God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, you would think that would be great to be there when the heavens opened up and the Father, God, big capital G, God spoke from heaven, capital J, Jehovah, God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That had to be great. Peter said, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mountain. And he said, we have also a more sure word of promise. He said, this is better than if you heard God speak from heaven. This has got that beat. It's written down. We're going to look at it every day, Sister Jean. 10 times a day if we want to. It's better to have your own written copy. You might forget what that voice said. You might forget and say, was I really there? Was I not there? Is that what he said or did he say? No, he wrote it down for us. It's better. It's better. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Not just regular old sure. It's more sure than if God spoke from heaven. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Some believed. And they believed and were sure that Jesus was Lord. They're sure about sin. You can be sure about the Scriptures. You can be sure about service. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11:18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Just keep telling them. Just keep telling them. So, righteousness, that's Jesus. I just keep sowing Him. You can be sure about the Savior. Isaiah 28. Verse 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. See, the Lord spends a lot of time knocking hollow foundations out from under my feet, so I'll stay on Him, the firm foundation. You be sure about the Savior. 33. Isaiah 33:16. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king and his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. If you remember, water is a picture of the Bible, and it's very sure. Be sure about the Bible, you can be sure about the Savior. John 16:30. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and omniscience again, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. 2 Timothy 2:19. You can be sure about the Savior. He knows everything. He came from God. He came from heaven just like the manna. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Remember, that's Jesus. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And then Hebrews 6. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. God needed to swear in. He didn't lay his hand on the Bible. He laid it on himself and said, I swear. And when God made promise, I'm sorry, in 14, saying, surely, blessing, I'll bless thee and multiply. Multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation to confirm is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed by an oath. Immutable means unchangeable or sure. His counsel, God's counsel is sure. Then in verse 18 it says there's two things that's sure. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope? That's Jesus. For a Bible believer, hope's a noun. For the world, you ask them, you're going to heaven? They say, well, I hope so. That's a verb.
Right.
That's a verb. For a Bible believer, hope's a noun. It's a positive. Which hope we have is an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. That's the other immutable thing that will never change, you can be sure of. The counsel and Jesus. Even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, John chapter 6. We're about done. Hold your breath. Won't be too long. Won't be too long. John 6, verse 70. In 64, we saw some turn back. In verse 68, we saw some believe. In 70, some betrayed. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. This is the outer circle, not the inner circle. They followed Judas and his pals, followed because of the miracles and because of the bread, because they got fed. Judas never was saved. He fell from his office, not from salvation.
Right.
Not from salvation. The son of perdition. Perdition means utter loss of the soul, utter loss of final happiness, future misery, and eternal death. All the way through, the Lord gave them every opportunity to make a decision for Him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down in Christ's name. Amen.